Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
All right, another egg for the Maple Leafs. Penguins 6, Leafs 1, the final from Pittsburgh. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Welcome to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. What imagine could be an active night on social media for Leafs Nation. So hit us up with your tweets at the Golden Muzzy. Direct your disdain at Gord Stellick, by the way, as we try our best to address and analyze and dissect another loss for the Maple Leafs, scored up to a 5-game win this skid, now 0-4-1 in that stretch.
It's not a funny thing, but there were some funny tweets out there. I mean, I appreciate humor better than
the angry tweets.
Angry and absurdity. Yeah, but this is absurd. This is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. And you can say that, and this would be one of the games that you would just, I can remember a few years ago, Mike Babcock was coaching Detroit, and they lost a bad one in Montreal. And he kind of kidded. He goes, you know what? Just going to have a couple of beers on the plane. You throw the video away.
Legit.
In a game like that. That's usually a one-off. That's what usually happens. You carry about in your season merrily, whatever it may be, and you have a horrid night like the Leafs did tonight. But the body of work of late has made it beyond that. This, you know, the statistics we get here, and we'll go over them.
Shout out Sam McKee, by the way.
Shout out Sam McKee, yes.
The best.
But we don't keep track of two-on-ones. We don't keep track of scoring chances. Here you got a kid making his first starting goal who played well.
I know.
Unlike Michael Hutchinson, Kazimir Kaskasiu played well, which is ridiculous in a game like tonight when you look at the goal total. The Leafs, letting him take shots from the slot area. Now, by the way, about practices as well, we've heard is can't get ice time. Then when they get ice time, they seem to take a day off and whatever. It looks like they never practice the game tonight. I mean, it really does. And John Tavares, Austin Matthews, everyone stunk. And again, if it was a one-off clunker, you could sort of just move on. Let's get to Vegas. Let's get whatever. The only good part about this, Nick, is because it's starting to get maybe ugly.
Toxic,
ugly, whatever the words may be. It's good they're not at home because they would get the crap boot out of them. I'm not an advocate for it, but whatever the fans do, whenever they pay their money, there was so much excitement a year ago, game one. I remember Mark Savard and I talking about it, go, wow, this crowd's electric, gets alive before the game because John Tavares had been signed. This is the whole thing. And man, they can, and the only part about when it gets ugly is they start to look at certain individuals and it can get real ugly. And I hope that doesn't end up being in the case. So they got a whack of road games, which is bad news in some ways, but maybe good news for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
In essence, Stella has to get her groove back because I think you're right. Like, there's an immense amount of talent on this roster. I feel like they've backtracked in the last week. Like, we discussed on Sunday, we were sort of pumped up, which is crazy to say about a 5-4 loss in Chicago, but there are a lot of positives to take from that game. The night before, Mitch Marner goes down and they haven't won a game since. Zach Hyman's back in the lineup. But the Maple Leafs now 9-9-4. You want to take a wild guess what their record was at this time last year?
So in the first 22 games?
Well, at this date last year was through 21 games.
Okay, through 21 games.
How many wins do you think they had?
12.
Higher. 15-6-0. I know they read it off in the broadcast too.
Okay.
So this is
my second
day.
Guess.
Yeah.
15.
This is night and day, Gord. Like,
well, they've had great starts the last 2 years. We've seen lulls, but not at the start of the season. They've banked points very well the last couple of seasons.
Like, we're at a concerning point now, right?
Whatever the word may be, concerning, disconcerting, toxic, you know, just it's not because
something's off.
Okay, so maybe that 3-1 win against the Los Angeles Kings actually was a beautiful game. Maybe it was. I don't know. I mean, I think it's the wrong kind of game to call a beautiful game for this team. And maybe that's the confusion. What is this team supposed to be about? I mean, geez, tonight, Nick, the quit.
Like, on Hockey Night in Canada.
I don't like to use the word quit, but the quit and back-checking in some ways at times. So I don't know what else you're going to say. It was unbelievable. Like, I don't know why. I am really flummoxed to think, again, a word I don't use often, like just those elements, because that's the stuff you can still do when things aren't going right and just whatever. at least check, at least put your heart into it. And it wasn't even passengers. It was lacking passengers. It was just some guys that really didn't really seem to want to play an NHL game tonight.
No, you're right. You know, that's warranted. And I think among the scary numbers that certainly will break down here over the next hour, I couldn't believe this. And again, this is not really an indictment on their goaltending, more so their defensive play. They've now surrendered 75 goals. And at the time of us talking right now, that's second worst in the NHL, Gord. This is a perennial contender for the Stanley Cup. 75 goals surrendered.
Wow. Well, last week it was, or a couple of games ago, it was the fact that penalty killing was just as horrid as the power play. And tonight, the power play for the Pittsburgh Penguins had they were the only team sputtering worse than the Leafs. And the cure for them was get a chance against the Leafs penalty killing. So, of course, the Penguins did get a power play goal to start the game tonight. So now you're talking about their defensive woes, which, boy, so much of it's related to the backup goaltender starts. Like, you know, like it's unbelievable that way. But that's a staggering stat. And you see Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz going into the island. And the first thing they say is, guys, you were dead last year in team defense. That won't cut it. And they moved to first and they eliminated a goal per game and they got it done.
Like, again, it's so simple to blame the goaltending, but this is not on Kasimir Kaskasuo. He made 32 saves, by the way, in his debut tonight. How about 19 shots on goal in your first period of NHL action? They hung him out to dry. The first one was about 45 rebound attempts.
Yeah, well, about 10 scoring chances.
Malkin in the slot.
10 scoring. And when they were down to Malkin in the
he
slot
got
all
decked
day.
On that one goal they called back.
And when they were down to, Leafs were down to nothing, they had not got a scoring chance. So even though the Leafs, again, starting on time, what does it really matter? They never really got going or started, but they never got a scoring chance again. The same old thing about possession of the puck. And again, I saw another stat just saying, like, you know, whatever, more time controlling the puck in the, I don't mean in tonight's game, but in general, in the offensive zone, but also that time not resulting in shots on goal. So that's what happened early on. And then all of a sudden, it was like Pittsburgh had eight legitimate scoring chances before the Leafs even had one.
And so it doesn't get any better for this team. They're on the road for six consecutive games. Their next stop, Tuesday night, Sin City, the Vegas Golden Knights. I guess the silver lining, the good thing here is that Vegas is not playing well by any stretch themselves right now. The Maple Leafs beat them a couple weeks back on home ice. Vegas lost to Los Angeles earlier today, so build off that. They got Arizona coming up on Thursday. I mean, you could always hit... You can only hit rock bottom. There's only upwards to go. But again, you look at the numbers, something certainly we'll talk about on Tuesday and Thursday is the first goal and this trend continuing. They've surrendered the first goal in seven straight games, Gord, and 17 of 22 to start this year. Just think about that.
Yeah, and Mike Babcock just said last time that if you do that, you win 71% of the times. So that means each time you do that, your odds win. And he was saying that was the NHL average this year. With teams that score the first goal of the game. So you're now at 29% league average when you don't. And, you know, Tuesday, it's not even about it gets worse or better or whatever. It's not even about all that. It's just something's got to happen to win a game. John Tavares, get a hat trick. Auston Matthews, get a hat trick. Freddie Anderson, get a shutout. Whatever it may be, just something like that. And lo and behold, it can turn things around totally. You know, I got to tell you, one of the worst times ever, and this was a team, see, this is here, Nick, we haven't had teams where there were great expectations from the Toronto Maple Leafs disappoint. Usually, you know, the Pat Quinn's teams had a great run for X number of years and then kind of tailed off. After Doug Gilmour, after Steve Stavros couldn't, you know, fork out the money and they had to, you know, guys left, it just happened. But I was doing color with Joe Bowen in 1992, December, and they were just playing terrible. And the plane got delayed in Quebec City, and we sat in the dark. Everyone's sitting in the dark, cold plane as they tried to work something out there, a charter plane. And we're going, looking at the schedule, go, when the hell are they going to win a game, do you think? Kept looking at it. And wouldn't you know, a week later, Cliff Fletcher made the Doug Gilmour trade.
Yeah.
A 10-player trade was made with the Calgary Flames. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. You know, it's a cap world. It's a way different world. But something dramatic turned things around. So it wasn't like Doug Gilmour and Jamie McCowan alone, but just they got going. Whatever the good was there that was being inhibited got going. And that's what the Leafs do. that's what the Leafs need to do, hopefully, in this next game in Vegas.
Trust me, no saviors coming their way, especially with the cap situation. Again, we can't use excuses in this world. Pittsburgh's a perfect example. No Sidney Crosby, no Chris Letang. It doesn't matter. They still pump six on the Maple Leafs. So without Mitch Marner, Toronto now 0-4 again. If you're just tuning in, a 6-1 loss in Pittsburgh, pretty much really, really embarrassing, especially on a Saturday night. Hockey Night in Canada on Sportsnet 590, the Fan as well. I think if for the Maple Leafs, you just park this in the rear view and look forward to the week ahead and bonding a bit on the road trip. There's a lot of new players on this roster. That's all you can pretty much do at this point, Gord.
Yeah, you really do have to put it behind you. You're right. And these guys are all, they're all pros. They've been, I'm sure, in good and bad situations. And you're right about in that there is not going to be a Doug Gilmore and Jamie McCowan arriving. But those guys are already here with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, those guys are,
right.
not just John Tavares, the other guys they drafted. So they're the guys that have to lead. It's not a lead, follow, get out of the way. They got to lead. They made it as far as a leadership group off the ice. They made a captain for the first time, and new guys were made alternate captains, and that's where it's got to emanate from.
Again, feel free to chime in via social media at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Just your thoughts on where this team goes from here. Just a very disappointing 6-1 loss in Pittsburgh. Just an overall horrible week for this Maple Leafs team. Some positives, because it's good to give both sides of the perspective here on the show. Kaskasuo, of course, in his NHL debut was solid, 32 saves. He wasn't an issue, which is kind of interesting coming into this night. I thought a big topic of conversation was going to be the backup goalie making his debut at the age of 26, but he wasn't. Jason Spezza scores a goal, which is always great to see considering his battle with Mike Babcock all year. And Tyson Barrie snapped a 7-game pointless drought, although, Gord, he was a -4 in this game.
Yeah, it doesn't. the goal, and Spezza did not whoop it up.
Good shot.
But it was a good shot, yeah. And Tyson Barrie getting added like a pity assist is He knows it. He's expecting, and probably I got to tell you, the free agent year and things like that, the fact he'll be an unrestricted free agent after this season,
I'd sign him right now, Gordon.
Well, but that weighs on guys quite a bit about, you can say, is that being selfish? But no, it's just reality.
It is.
And they press on that, and he expected it was going to be not an easy ride, but a fun ride, and one where you would, and I believe it, and let's see, they still got 3/4 of the season to basically enforce my belief still that there should be all kinds of points for guys like Tyson Barrie on this team.
You got to humanize the situation. Again, that's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame. Got to ask you this. I mean, you've been around quite a while. We're not going to mention how many years, but you've seen a lot of different things in the hockey world. Are the Maple Leafs tuning out the coach, in your opinion? And just some of the concerning stuff we've seen, the power play 5 for the last 47. For some reason, he has a reluctancy, he being Mike Babcock, to jumble up the lines in a 6-1 hockey game. He didn't do much of that. I didn't see Austin Matthews play 5-on-5 with, say, a John Tavares, or a Tavares play with a Nylander. And that's just been sort of the MO of Mike Babcock, since his days with the Anaheim Ducks, since his days, heck, with McGill. Like, he doesn't deviate from what he knows. We know that. But are we at a point where, there's evidence this team is starting to tune out their head coach a tad?
Well, I was annoyed Austin Matthews wasn't on the ice more last night because he played so well.
He's going.
Tonight really didn't matter.
No.
I really wasn't even, I don't even think there was anything somewhat scientific. This game was so dreadful that nothing on the ice could be used to help formulate a plan in the future. The guys obviously are tuning Mike Babcock out either purely to a certain degree. That's not uncommon. You can still win with a coach that guys tune out to a degree, but it's also up to the coach to recognize what messages you really want to get across, what messages aren't resonating, and maybe are they having too much of you, which you can say that could tick you off about the players, but also maybe go about it a different way. But there's no question. And again, that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon about nowadays. Guys make money. Young people in particular, have come up. You've come up differently than I came up, and just are taught to question things, are taught not to accept the status quo, and just tune things out a lot quicker.
I'm no coach. I just think you have to adapt. And among the things that are concerning to me so far, I mentioned the numbers on the power play. I get it, 16, Mitch Marner's out, but even with Marner in there, they weren't doing anything. 5 for the last 47, Babcock still won't jumble up Just put Tyson Berry with them. Just try that little change. Put Berry on the top PP. Move Riley to PP2. At this point, Gord, what is the worst that can happen? Because PP1 is not scoring right now.
Well, and talking about the power play in particular, yes. Then I'm all for trying those kinds of things. Like, which
that's what scares me is they're not even thinking about doing that, it seems.
You know, Morgan Riley was a Norris Trophy candidate legitimately last season. He's not this season.
Yeah.
He's struggling. The line of Tavares, Marner, and Hyman won't play together at all for a while. It hasn't at all, but still, two-thirds of it should be good enough to basically, this was a line that was super consistent last year. This was the most consistent line. I don't remember bad games from this line. I don't remember a string of bad games from these lines at all. So here they are. They've had two-thirds of them for most of the season, and they haven't been able to get going. So these are tried and true elements of the current Toronto Maple Leaf team that the expectation is that they'd be playing at a different level, and I can't put that all to coaching. You know, I can't put all that to coaching.
I just think it's become clear that things are stale in terms of the first power play unit and having sort of those guys there. Again, maybe they miss a guy like Nazem Kadri more than we're leading on. Certainly, it's taken a bit of time for Tyson Berry to adapt. I'm not piling up on anybody. I mean, specifically Tyson Berry, because I do think there is sort of a human side of the situation. This guy played in Denver. He didn't play in Toronto. And I think you need to adapt sometimes. He hasn't been great, but I mean, you can pinpoint guys who have been great as opposed to guys who haven't been great. Like, this is a team thing.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to what you just said about Nazem Kadri. So, I mean, let's look at, I've always said the dressing room is real. And if you're not a player, you don't understand the reality of what exactly is going on in the dressing room. And you try to get a handle out of if you're the coach or general manager, and usually you have a pretty good handle. But it's real. And so you're talking Nazem Kadri, you're talking Jake Gardner, you're talking Ron Hainsey, you're talking Connor Brown, you're talking Patrick Marleau. You know, I mean, like, in each case, they've left for a more successful situation. I know Jake Gardner doesn't play as prominent a role, but Carolina is going well. When Marleau came on board, San Jose started going well. Ottawa is taking baby steps with all those guys. So is there a next factor that those guys are missed? You know, that in creating this new leadership group, it's not really the leadership group, that certain components of those guys that left were bigger parts of a leadership group. Again, don't know, just speculating.
You're right, though, like, because, you know, one of our main objectives here, especially on the postgame show, Leafs Nation postgame, is to answer the why question. People sitting in their cars right now, listening at home, wherever you may be across this continent or in this world, why? You look at this roster and these players on this team, why do they continue to lose games? Why were they embarrassed tonight? And I think you make an excellent point to bring that up, the turnover. Who knows how these guys were perceived in the room, right? Like, who? Maybe Nazem Kadri was the most loved guy. I can tell you for a fact they loved a guy like Patrick Marleau, right? Like, you just know from the way guys reacted to Patrick Marleau and his return in the video tribute, he meant a lot to this team. Connor Brown's another guy who killed penalties, was massive in a bottom six role. I think it's, you know, it's not often brought up enough in this world when teams struggle, you know, the human part of the situation of what guys mean in the locker room.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, that's a huge part. That's a huge part. And it's something you only know if you are in it that way. So we're throwing a lot of things out there.
Yeah.
But it's a night when you do, because it's really baffling and perplexing. And we could come on and pretend we know the answers and that. We certainly have suggestions and observations. Every Leaf fan does. But man, that's just tonight is just unacceptable.
Oh, I agree.
It's just unacceptable. It's not one of those things. It's unacceptable.
I'm very curious to hear from Mike Babcock, which we will later on in the show. Kyle Dubas was in attendance, by the way, at PPG Paints Arena. At times, they showed him on his cell phone. Who knows what he was up to? Maybe he was on the Sportsnet app, hopefully. But again, like, at this point in time for the Maple Leafs, you can only go upwards. And we're doing our best to dissect because, again, you know, make of it what you will, this numbers era. But you look at some of the players on this roster, there is no way this hockey club should be 9-9-4 on the season, Gord.
No, and out of the playoffs. No, there isn't. There isn't. That's a given. That's a given. So I know we're going to hear from Mike Babcock later on as well, just so you know. We are going to hear what Ron McLean had to say. He addressed things in the first intermission. So it's really been a strange week with all that has happened with Don Cherry and with Coach's Corner. And then for the Leafs to have their worst week in a long time. What's the worst week in 2.5 years? And I'm I'm hard-pressed to remember a game as bad as this. I mean, no, there have been, but I'm hard-pressed to come to mind when exactly last it happened.
Perplexing for a variety of reasons. Again, the Maple Leafs losing 6-1 in Pittsburgh, and among them, last Sunday night, we sat in these very chairs, and granted, they lost to Chicago, but again, things were on the upwards for that team, even without Mitch Marner in this lineup, and it seems like we're back at square one. Let's hear now from a rather confused Mike Babcock.
Able to get in front, does it have a better chance to play improved hockey defensively? Mo was just talking about when they're chasing the game, things seem to open up.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. But, I mean, we weren't chasing the game. I thought we were good till they scored. Yeah. And then they took over, and they were way better than us. They had the puck. They skated by us. I think sometimes when you're pushing at the end of a game, it's a different thing. There's no reason for us to look the way we did tonight. They played last night. We played last night. They got some injuries. We got some injuries. Level playing field, bottom line is they were better than us.
What do you think it was? Do you think it's become
mental? Well, I don't know. I mean, I would like to think over the last two nights prior to tonight that we were taking a step. I really thought we were going in the right direction and looking right. And then today, you know, obviously we need a regroup because that's not good enough. We didn't play hard enough for long enough. And in the end, as an athlete, you put on your sweater, you want to be proud of how hard you compete and how hard you play for one another. And we didn't look after that. We have to take a look at each other and get this fixed, obviously. And no one outside is going to fix it. We got to fix it.
Not a lot of options, obviously, for, you know, roster changes.
No,
like
there's
not. Injuries and stuff.
No, and even our lines, you know, we can move them around. We did a bit tonight. We moved our D pairs around tonight. The bottom line is we're all family in there. We got to take a look at each other hard, and we all got to do a better job. The coach, the players, all of us, we got to be way better.
How do you think you fix it?
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to get on that flight. I think we're going 4.5 hours if it's not. By the time I'm off, I'll probably have some answers. The reality is, the number one thing is we got to play harder and for longer. And as soon as something goes bad, we can't stop playing. You push through it. Every one of us in our life, there's things that go bad. Dig in.
All right. There's Mike Babcock, and seeing through that a bit, I ask you this question. Why is he yet to be critical of any of his players? You know, he was so quick to just strip down Garrett Sparks last year. And this year, he's coddled them. He's babied them. Like, these guys are 3-4 years into the league. They've been here before. Guys like Jake Muzzin's a veteran. He can handle it. He had Daryl Sutter as a coach. Like, why is he coddling this situation? I think you're more probably going to get more out of your team by just being blunt and honest at this point in time.
Yeah, he would take on Willie Nylander a bit. There were certain guys
exactly.
In the past, you know, but I think a lot of it now is just he gets it that you can't go to war with your star players. And they've got big contracts, and there's no point doing it, and there's no point flogging guys that haven't been able to assimilate into the lineup right now. I mean, there's like before it was little things. Things were going well generally, and so you could, you know, pick on, hey, Nick Alberga or Gord Stellick, yeah, whatever it may be. But now there's got to be a concern. As much as he says, I'll think on the flight and come up with some ideas, like, they got to be like saying, hey, can we pull the drapes here and just lie in the fetal position for a while? Because, wow, this is like a doctor looking at someone saying that you got 8 different things wrong with you. I don't even know where to start, you know? And so perspective wise in that, hopefully they can look at what is the biggest illness out there and then maybe help fix the other ones.
Yeah. I don't know if I can buy that. Like I think I would be critical. Like look at Dallas. They call out their top players on a weekly basis, and that team is 10-1-1 in the last 12. Like I think you have different cards as a coach to use, and I feel like Mike Babcock just continues to sort of not see anything in the media, which is his play. But at times, you could benefit by utilizing your voice or your message through the media. You've seen it before.
Well, Jim Montgomery then backed off when he did it again. But last year, in the case of Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, it wasn't until January,
yeah,
and it was the president of the Stars, Jim Lights. And part of it was, Nick, they had not made the playoffs the previous 2 years. And it was basically, he was kind of saying, like, they could not make the playoffs last year, 3 consecutive seasons, and they made it. And he got on Ben and Sagan, and, you know, I would like to think, first of all, you know, you made John Tavares captain for a reason, and let's see what this leadership group can do. Boy, there was some flight. I mean, you know, guys like Johnsson and Kapanen tonight. I mean, just quit playing D. I mean, it was just wow.
These are key players too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. Just and like maybe if they've hit rock bottom and they got all the crap out there tonight, then fine. Maybe just fine. Just leave it out there and whatever and bounce back. But again, that's up them to do. I glad he doesn't play the us against them crap and all that stuff. But they do have to figure it out internally.
Again, across the board, this is a trend, a theme with this Maple Leafs team. Two things. Those Canucks retro jerseys are unbelievable as they take to the ice against Colorado. And number two, you see who's starting for Colorado tonight, right? Antoine Bibeault, the fourth string netminder, the former Maple Leaf farmhand. And this is getting to Vegas territory with Colorado.
Yeah, getting a little bit there. And of course, the kid that had the great start had a terrible second game.
Adam Werner.
And, you know, just shows, you know, you're hoping that Cascasillo could have the Adam Werner shutout start the first game. But for Werner, the second game, he got pulled. It was a lot different.
Yeah, sadly, it was a shooting gallery and there's some gap issues for the Maple Leafs, among other issues. So a 6-1 win for Pittsburgh at home to the Toronto Maple Leafs at PPG Paints Arena. We'll hit the break. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter with your thoughts here. Winless in five now for the Maple Leafs. 0-4-1, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. And again, the Maple Leafs losing 6-1 in Pittsburgh, now winless in the last 5-0-4-1. And this was just, sadly, game one of six on the road, and they head out west. And it's unfortunate because you want to have fun when you go to Sin City. But I think, as you mentioned earlier, Gord, it's going to be a quiet flight for the Maple Leafs. A lot of soul searching right now. Maybe soul playing, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's soul searching or sometimes you say, screw it. Let's have some fun and let's get at it Tuesday. And it was, I can remember once we were in a losing streak of all things. I talked decades ago and there was a Meet the Leaf luncheon and the coach was Dan Maloney. He said, really? Seriously, come on. This is the worst. Anyway, remember John Candy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he emceed it. And it was a riot. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And actually, we got on a bit of a tear after that. And it was almost like something different. And just, you know, when you're expecting gloom and doom and that, but it was the diehard Leaf fans that were at the luncheon and he was funny. And all of a sudden, a positive came out of a negative.
Basically, Gord was saying, you know, they'll hit the Cirque du Soleil in Vegas. And next thing you know, the Maple Leafs will rattle off 12 in a row.
I don't know about Cirque. And don't go to Penn and Teller. Like, something
Cirque's
better.
Cirque's awesome. I know my buddy out there, he runs the marketing for Cirque du Soleil.
I fall asleep all the time.
They're awesome. They're actually really good. Anyway,
how do you design Cirque du Soleil? How do you sit down with a pen and paper and go, okay, Nick, you're going to do a quadruple back? like seriously, how do you?
I think their skill set takes over. Which, you know, to correlate it to the NHL world and the Leafs world, we wish the skill set would take over for this Maple Leafs squad, but it hasn't been the way this team has been playing the last couple of weeks. It's time for the VTech call of the game, Gord. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Muzzin to the far side and a wrist shot. Weak one went wide of the net. Came in front. And Marino was able to play it off. And out come the Penguins now across the line to Malkin. Closing in. Scores! Evgeny Malkin was the trailer and no one was around him for 5 or 6 feet.
Sometimes you need to step up when your big guys are gone, especially when you have multiple guys who are elite players on your roster. Do you want to know the stats to back up Malkin when no Sidney Crosby in the lineup, since it's going to be my lead in my Sportsnet.ca article tomorrow?
Okay, tell me the stats.
123 games now in his career for Evgeny Malkin without Sidney Crosby. 67 goals, 97 assists, 163 points. So what we're saying is no Mitch Marner. I think it's time for John Tavares, Austin Matthews. Maybe you include Frederick Gauthier in that list, maybe if you're Gord Stellick, and it's time to wake up here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's. We keep stating the obvious. about it, but it absolutely is. And I've been working with teams where it has turned around. Obviously not enough, or I wouldn't be broadcasting now. But
you don't want to work with Nick Alberta? Come on. Now.
Anyway, that's what you got to hope. I mean, it's we had our rant earlier. We had our, you know, just it ends with a whimper rather than a bang. We've had all the phases tonight. We put it out there.
It's a therapy session.
We backchecked. We did not do any flybys.
Wish the Leafs did that. The post game is rolling in, and I do want to hear what's going on in that locker room. Austin Matthews, we'll start with him. A -2 in this hockey game. Here's what he had to say post game.
I think in the locker room, confidence isn't exactly high right now. We don't think we've played to the ability that we're capable of over the last course of games. So, we got nobody to blame except ourselves. And it's really up to us.
Also had some injury issues like you did. They seem to put it together like you guys want to.
Well, it's the NHL. I mean, guys are going to get injured. You're going to, teams are built to have depth. Teams are built to have guys that can come in and step in, and they have that. We have that. We're just not showing it right now.
Is there an aspect of tonight's game in particular that you really didn't like or you thought it should have gone better?
I can't really pinpoint one exact thing,
How do you rebuild confidence when it's not there?
Sorry?
How do you rebuild confidence as a team when it's not there?
And just playing better, being better in all aspects of the game, lifting each other up, holding each other accountable, and going from there. We're 22 games in the season. These points start to matter, and we can't just let these, it's just one game. We'll get it next time. I mean, it's been, repetitive, and for us, we want to make sure it stops now, and we want to get back on track.
Attention to detail defensively, is that work ethic, Austin? Is this within this team's grasp to put that in and do that for the better part of 60 minutes, do you think?
I think so. Attention to detail, but I think offensive zone, other than maybe the first 10 minutes of the first period, we didn't really generate much. It's you got to kind of tip your hat to them, but at the same time, I think we believe in the guys that we have in this locker room and the talent and skill that we have. I think when we possess the puck in the offensive zone, we make sure that, we're getting back and back checking hard and breaking out quick like they did tonight against us. That's when we're at our best, and we just hadn't really shown that as of late.
How different would it be if you guys would get the first goal? Because you had some chances early on in these games. You're not getting it, and then it seems to go south.
There's always statistics that show. We had it in our locker room the other day. You score the first goal, you win, so-and-so percentage of the time, obviously more so than when you give up the first goal, but it's obviously been a bit of a weak point for us so far. And even when we have started well, like I think we did tonight, like I think we did against Boston, where we had the puck, we possessed it, and then we have a breakdown and they put it in the back of our net, and suddenly we're back on our heels, and the momentum kind of swings the other team's way, and we really don't have an answer, which really isn't acceptable.
How big is this road trip going to be for you guys?
It's a big road trip. First one of the year. We want to get a string along a couple wins. I think the way we've been playing, the way we play tonight, like we have in the last couple of back-to-backs, we hung our goalie out to dry. Kaz definitely deserves better. And it's unfortunate that this is the effort that we gave him tonight. So we got to put this behind us. We got to make sure that this kind of comes to a stop and comes to an end right now, and then we move forward, put our best foot forward, and make sure that we're holding each other accountable in this room, and pick up our play.
All right, want to hear a power move? That's Austin Matthews. We see Austin Matthews show up to Vegas with no mustache, Gord. It's time to say goodbye to Movember and that mustache to change the will of this team going forward.
Well, you got a good mustache.
Thank you. I'm not on this team, thankfully.
I got to tell you, he's a good friend, but Elliot Friedman, holy mackerel. I'm glad Movember only has 30, not 31 days.
I like it.
Friedge's mustache.
Him and McKenzie killing it.
No. Friedge goes a good beard. This mustache is not doing it. Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews has played well this season, like he has. But you can tell there he's kind of tuned out the questions a bit, and I don't blame him, but... because he did answer it later, but when they said, is there one thing that particularly disappointed you, he should have said, yeah, we let our goaltender down.
Yeah.
Like that should be the answer, okay, that you let your goaltender down his first career NHL start. But I'm going to get the guys to put this together, and later, if I have any sleep issues, I'm going to replay it. All the guys talking after tonight's game.
Yeah, it's like somebody died out there.
It's basically, they're not thrilled answering the questions either. But it's And I've said many times, it's like poor Dion Phaneuf had to face the music always as captain of a bad Leaf team after bad Leaf games.
We are gathered
here
today.
Getting a flashback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got tons of flashbacks on Leafs Nation pregame where you're bringing up Finnish goalies of the past.
Well, we figured out the third goaltender.
Who was
the third goaltender?
The bus. What was his name? UC Rinus?
UC Rinus, yeah. Played a few games because we talked about Michael Tellqvist being a Swedish goaltender. We talked about Vesa Toskala. Oh, God. And that was the other one. And we're just, you know, Scandinavian goaltenders have not had the same success with the Toronto Maple Leafs like the Mats Sundins and Börje Salming's non-goaltenders have.
Fair enough. Let's move on. That was Austin Matthews. Before another break, we'll hear what the captain, John Tavares, had to say.
After everyone in this room hold each other accountable, we have to reflect defensively and, of course, building from there and putting an attempt to win a hockey game job.
Yeah, it's up to us. Obviously, to stop the bleeding. It's unacceptable the way we played tonight, and the way we went out there and played obviously isn't close to what our standard is, our expectation, and what we need to do to get the results we want.
Some other teams you're facing also have injury issues. They seem to be putting it together. Is it a source of frustration that you guys haven't been able to do that the last few games?
Yeah, no question. We're not playing well, and we've had some good efforts and some games where we've let some things slip away. But tonight just flat out isn't good enough.
What's the process now for sort of addressing this and moving ahead to get to where you guys want to go?
Well, no one's going to feel sorry for us, and it's really up to us in here to continue to work and figure out what we need to do to get to where we want to get to, and it's looking yourself in the mirror and just making sure that you're giving yourself everything you got every day and doing everything we can to stick together and fight through it. It's obviously going to test our resolve and our resiliency, and the best way to look at it is this is an opportunity for growth and for us to challenge ourselves to find our way out of it and get back to the type of team that we are.
How different would it be if you guys would get the first goal? I mean, last night, tonight, you started well early. If you get that goal, maybe a different complexion on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it would make a big difference for sure, I think. I think with the way things have kind of gone for us in that way this year. And, I thought we got off to a decent start, and then they got a couple goals, and then we just, we didn't respond very well and couldn't stop the bleeding after that. So, we got to dig in those areas, and when you don't get it, we got to stay with it and keep giving ourselves an opportunity to stay patient and not let it get away from us.
All right, there's John Tavares, the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A quiet night for him, a quiet night overall for the Buds. Didn't have much cooking outside of a Jason Spezza goal when it was like 5-0. So all in all, again, we're just going to move past this game, Gord.
Yes, just move past this game.
Yeah.
He would like that mattress that's on center ice, right, when he slept at what was Air Canada Center, now Scotiabank Arena. That was kind of a fun commercial.
Is it a posturpedic?
For John Tavares, never wanting to leave the arena. He wants to get out tonight.
What's the box spring like on that? I don't know. I think that we're done for postgame, too. These guys are giving nothing. Anyways, it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along on Twitter. Other side, why don't we have a look at the out-of-town scoreboard to just see what else is happening in this league rather than dwell on this 6-1 loss for the Maple Leafs against Pittsburgh. So we'll do that coming up next. Wrap things up, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Leafs Radio Network.
What's up?
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, Leafs Nation postgame roars on here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Leafs Radio Network. It is Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Again, Maple Leafs falling 6-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Game 1 of 6 on the road for the Maple Leafs. Now 9-9-4 on the season, Gord.
It's been quite a week for the Maple Leafs and quite a week, of course, with Hockey Night in Canada. And for a lot of you would not have seen the game, Ron McLean chose to speak to open the first intermission, and here is what Ron McLean had to say tonight.
We are all hurting. I have collapsed 100 times this week, if not more. We're all disappointed. Bobby Orr's disappointed in me. Bobby, I'm disappointed in me. I've sat all week long reflecting, listening to you, and I have heard you. I mean you, the viewer. I've reflected by listening to my own heart. And they say, I've struggled mightily to find the words, and I'm not sure I have them even now, but they say it's a good thing because when you can find the words, it's dead in your heart. And it's not dead in my heart. By the way, Don Cherry, we have communicated. We talked a lot on Monday, and then by phone. I was there in person, and then by phone. And he sent me a note yesterday. I phoned you, by the way, Don, at 9:30 this morning when we normally talk, and you didn't. I don't know if you're at the cottage or just couldn't. But Don said, Ron, a lot of people will be watching this for a while. Don't go too far, which made me smile, of course. Don Cherry telling me not to go too far. But it's nothing, you know, I don't want to be cavalier in any regard. I don't want to be sanctimonious or righteous in this address that you and I are having. This one plunged deeply into our hearts, right? You know why? Because it's about relationships. Biggest thing, it's about relationships. Don's and mine, the coach's corners and yours, yours and Don's. It's certainly about hockey, the teammates, the bridge building that hockey represents. It's about life and Canada. So all I can do is unpack my heart a little bit here and then see how you feel. The news cycle. I should say sorry to all the journalists who called this week and I didn't return calls. I know you understand why, but it would be about personalities, about rivalries, about divisions and failures, about all that drama. And it's not about Don and me. It was clearly about something bigger. I haven't spoken, so let me go back to last Saturday and just sort of take you through the last 30 seconds of the coach's corner. Don typically beautifully had done the story of two young minor hockey boys who had died that week. And I had been in Welland the night before, and I knew how traumatic it was for the hockey community and the tragedy for the family. So that was there. Then we were moving towards Don's beautiful Vimy Ridge video, and I was kind of processing what he was saying and thinking I wasn't in an ideological bubble at all. I might have been in a friendship bubble, but because I was kind of praying that I don't think I'm hearing trouble, but I might be hearing trouble. Anyway, it was done. And then you called us on it, which I thank you for, because that's the new world. You don't have a pulpit like Coach's Corner or the CBC News or the New York Times or the Guardian that just pronounces and that's it. Now you have in real time social media and a kind of a democracy happening. And so you caught it. And knowing what to overlook is wisdom, right? And I felt so bad, and I apologized immediately. And Don, you know Don, a bit defiant. There were steps that needed to be taken because of what had been said by Don, and he didn't want to do those steps. So he made his choice, and I made mine. And then the next choice, which was a really hard choice, probably the sleepless nights all week are mostly about this. Don's my guy. I'm in a foxhole with Don, and I've decided to go one way, and he another. And you say, okay, how can you choose principle over friendship? But I had to. I thought a lot about falling on my sword too. And then I thought, no, but if I do that, I infer what happened was right somehow, or that I'm going along to get along, or that I'm going to just sit silently by or be a bystander again in a situation. And that, it just took the courage. Don taught me to stand, right? So I had to have the courage of my convictions. And that's what I'll say about you, Don. I love you so much, and you always say you spoke like a 32-year-old American Hockey League player. You were always the captain, the leader of your hockey teams, the coach could count on to take care of the troublemaker, and you taught me to be that guy. And so here I am, sort of standing up and taking this position. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of my respect for you or my judgment of you. We will never do anything in the first intermission on Hockey Night in Canada. We have, like, the country to reimagine ourselves, and there will be, you know, a possibility of this really bad, unexpected thing to do some good things, I hope. But we honor what you've meant to the game, to the fact that you have been there for human beings and sentient beings. Just a fantastic human being. And so I love you very much, and we honor you tonight in this last talk about a coach's corner.
All right, there's the host of Hockey Night in Canada, Ron McLean. It's Nick Alberger and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. We'll roll on here after this on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
It is time to wrap a bow on this thing. It's Nick Alberger and Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. The Maple Leafs falling 6-1 in Pittsburgh to the Penguins, now winless in 5-0-4-1 in that stretch. The out-of-town scoreboard gourd. 15 games in total on this Saturday in the National Hockey League.
Do it, Nick.
OT games. You want me to rifle through this?
Yeah.
All right. Canes win over the Wild in OT 4-3. Jets 4-3 over Tampa. Dallas wins in OT in Edmonton 5-4. The final. Arizona shuts out Calgary 3-0. LA 4, Vegas 3. Capitals winning a shootout against Boston 3-2. Sens lose 4-2 to the Sabres. Four goals for Jack Eichel in that game. Montreal loses 4-3 in a shootout, or an OT, excuse me, to the Devils. Panthers 4, Rangers 3. 4-3 shootout win for the Islanders. 13-0-1 in the last 14. Ducks 4-1 over the St. Louis Blues. And how about Chicago? 7-2 beatdown of the Nashville Predators. Did I get them all?
Got them all, and you had some, like the Philadelphia Flyers came back, the New York Islanders came back, the Washington Capitals came back. These are all Eastern Conference rivals. They were down some goals and came back.
And happening right now as well, you are correct. P.E. Belmar's got the first goal of the game for Colorado. It's Antoine Bibeau, the starter in that game, 1-0 for Colorado late in the first period in Vancouver. And yet to begin in San Jose at 10:30 Eastern start time, it's the Sharks and the Detroit Red Wings. Quite the first week with Detroit for Robbie Fabry, you know, like that era. Starting underway there, but for the Maple Leafs, scored Tuesday night against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Three words for the Maple Leafs: Viva Las Vegas. How about that? Let's move forward.
I'll say Cirque du Soleil. Many thanks to Sam McKee and Anthony Messina, and to you, Gord Stelic. I'm Nick Alberga. Relax, Leafs Nation. Still plenty of hockey to be played, but again, they got to figure this thing out quickly. Maple Leafs fall 6-1 to Pittsburgh. We'll talk on Tuesday night. Take care, everybody.